Good morning once again, honorable members, honorable minister of higher education, Dr. Zimande, the entire delegation from the Department of Higher Education Training, led by the DG. As a parliamentary staff, I suppose we need great success given the fact that we've got a short time to engage in the process. Let me welcome the Department of Higher Education and Training to this briefing. We've been looking forward to it, but for very unfortunate reasons, we've not been able to engage prior to today. But I'm happy that at least today we are going to be able to do some work. As we all know, this is done every financial year, that the department comes before the select committee of NSOP on education and recreation to give a briefing with a view to looking at the annual performance plans and strategy so that we just make sure it does comply with certain instruments as prescribed by the government. For instance, we know that we all have to comply with the prescripts of the Constitution, the NCP. We have to comply with the prescripts of the SONA by the President. We've got to see to it that we also comply with various pieces of legislation that have been promulgated by the Department. Your case is about the development of skills in the main, and they are also responsible for universities. So our engagement would broadly be around those institutions, the TVET colleges, the universities, the ESET institutions, the CETAs, because all those I wanted to believe they fall within the ambit of your department. As we begin with the engagement, I'm not going to waste any further time. I'm going to request the Honorable Minister of Higher Education and Training, Dr. Zimande, to give us his remarks on areas that he would deem important for the committee. And those areas would actually include issues like the migration of staff of the TVET colleges to higher education. That's one of the issues. The whole issue of the transformation in higher institutions of learning, the issues relating to capacitation of TVET college lecturers, and other issues that you would like to enlighten the select committee on. So let me hand over then to the Honorable Minister. But before I do this, let me note the apologies. Committee Secretary.
We've got three members that are running late. They will be joining the meeting just now. We've got an apology from the Deputy Minister as well of the department. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Zwane, and Honorable Members of the Select Committee. The DG and senior management. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity, which we really appreciate, because it's an important point for us to account and also to benefit from your own wisdom in terms of interrogating what we are presenting with a view to improving that. You will excuse me with my voice, the combination of quite a number of things. I've got a bit of flu, and yesterday I had my bicycle debate, and yesterday I was on TV in the morning, so I hope it will carry me through this, but I'll be brief. I must just indicate that I've got my whole of senior management here. Well, not the entirety, but the very top. I've got the Director General, and 5 DPGs that are responsible for the various areas, and other senior management to our company. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it's always important to engage with the select committee on our APP. And the plan, the strategic plan and APP which we are presenting today aims to implement the post-school education and training priorities for the Fifth Parliament. These are important plans for the realization of the imperatives of our national development plan as a country, as well as our department's white paper for post-school education and training, and of course the medium-term strategic framework. We have identified 5 outcome-oriented goals for the next 5 years, focusing on providing a sound post-school education legislative framework on services, building capacities, strong stakeholder networks, and ensuring continuous service delivery excellence within the Department of Higher Education and Training. Of course, the DG, together with his team, will then provide details after my initial input insofar as these are concerned. But maybe a brief highlight that as we implement outcome 5 of government's medium-term strategic framework, more focus will be given to, amongst other things, artisan development, youth development programs, career development services, and improving access to post-school education and training for people with disabilities. Maybe just a bit of an overview of the flavor of higher education. You may be aware now, Chairperson, that we've got 26 public universities. And these consist of 11 general academic universities, 6 universities of technology, and 9 comprehensive universities. I hope this is known to members, otherwise, maybe just to explain it very briefly, is that your general academic universities are the ones that would regard as like research universities. Typically, that would be University of Cape Town, or Fitz University, Fort Hare, Rhodes. Those would be your general University of Pretoria, your general academic or research oriented universities. Stellenbosch would be another one. And then the 6 universities of technology are former technicals, like Durban University of Technology, Mangosuthu, Cape Peninsula, and so on. And then the 9 comprehensive universities would be those that combine both your technical type offerings as well as your general academic programs. Like University of Johannesburg became a comprehensive when it incorporated the former Wits Technical, for instance. Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University would also be another example of a comprehensive university. Our 2 new universities, or 3 actually, are all comprehensives because we intend them to offer from higher certificates to diplomas right up to PhDs and postdoctoral programs at the same time. Of course, there is 1 University of Zululand, which is supposed to be a comprehensive but doesn't as yet offer enough courses on your sort of technical type programs, and it's got a lot of potential to grow on that score. I just thought, let me explain that very briefly, just to ensure that we're at 1 when we actually use these categories. Some of the interventions we anticipate really during the 5-year period of the STRAT plan and also the APP, one of the key issues is rolling out of the pilot in respect to NSFAS, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. We're hoping to start a forensic by end of this month, because we are picking up a lot of anecdotal information that there is lots of corruption in the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. I was in Mhlokweni this morning. I was amazed. A few callers and Mafa, the program person, was saying the SMSs and on Twitter, Facebook that they were receiving, is that they are really saying it's high time to do this investigation. And some were even saying, why has it taken government for so long when in fact there's been so much corruption on this? But of course, it's not only just a frenzy. As we say, the focus over the next 5 years is to change the manner in which the system has been operating. For example, Ter, without going into detail, we, NSFAS gives money to each institution. And it's the financial aid office of each institution that administers and distributes that money. It's not NSFAS. Now, that in itself has been a problem. So what we are piloting, which is system we want to move into, is for NSFAS to actually manage the scheme directly, rather than it being managed on behalf of NSFAS by institutions. Also, we want to comprehensively train teachers, educators for the entire education system. Often, Chairperson and honorable members, when we think about teacher training, we think only of school teachers. Yes, of course, school teachers constitute the single largest category, I guess, of teachers, but we also must train early childhood development practitioners. Great are foundation faith teachers, primary school teachers, but also we must now train TVET college lecturers, as well as academics, by the way. We are starting community colleges now, we need to train proper adult educators and have proper qualifications and all that, because we believe that this is a very crucial part of the system. So our universities are very crucial. Also, we are looking at leveraging more resources for student accommodation. See, the colleges, I won't say much. Some people are very skeptical. They say, well, we'll change the name from FET to TVET. It's just a change of name. To us, it's not just a change of name. It's really reconceptualizing and transforming, and as a platform to transform these institutions to really become vocational colleges with closer relations to employers, with lecturers who are up to date, who also know what is happening in the workplace and so on. And some of the interventions, of course, here, we should expand them as well as create community colleges, as well as student support for those. As I have said, accident development is another area. This is one key performance agreement area I have with the President, that we have to increase the number of accidents in our country quite dramatically. Now, maybe just moving towards ending my overarching opening is that a number of other interventions, Chair, that the DG and the team will also talk about, that are important to improve the functionality of post-school education training. Because that's how we've entered our mandate, as you know. For example, other interventions is enrollment in TVET colleges. Although we feel we've grown too fast over the last 5 years, if we're not careful, the system is likely to implode. So we're going to slow the growth a bit and focus on quality interventions and consolidation, as well as certification rates. We're worried about this. We are doing a lot to deal with it because we are concerned that students must be certificated soon after they complete, or as they complete, to be quite specific. Also, the throughput rates is something that we're dealing with, and success, which are the two things that are related. Might as well have improved success rates in both our universities and colleges, at least since the start of our department, or maybe over the last 10 years, if you want to. But we're still concerned that dropout rates, as well as lower throughput figures, are still a problem. Now, in order to facilitate effective implementation, therefore, of Outcome 5, you may note I have signed delivery agreements with the Ministries of Science and Technology, Telecommunications and Postal Services, Minister of Finance, Minister of Trade and Industry, Minister of Economic Development, and Minister of Labour, because these ministries also are important for our own agenda, that we cooperate with them in specific areas. Chair, with that, I will then, with your permission, hand over to the DG. Perhaps he can take us together with his team through some of the specifics. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. We have taken note of the issues that have raised. I think at the end of the presentation by the DG and his team, the committee would have space to engage on some of the issues that we have alluded to. Because of time constraints, let me just request the DG to take over. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Minister, Honourable Members, and my colleagues. Could we have an indication of the amount of time within which we should be concluding the presentation so that we are able to place ourselves 52 hours, an hour?
We are going to take 45 minutes.
45 minutes. All right, thanks, sir. Yeah, as the Minister indicated, this is a strat plan for 2015-16 to 2019-20, as well as annual performance plan for 2015-16 medium-term expenditure framework. This is just the outline of the presentation. The strategic overview of the department, I think the Minister touched on it just briefly, but the Department of Higher Education and Training is responsible for all post-school education and training in the country. It is responsible for the coordination in the department for outcome 5 of government's 14 outcomes, which specifically in respect to us is a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth. So in 2014, the department, as you know, released the white paper for post-school education and training, which the white paper has created a framework that defines the department's vision and prioritizes quite a number of key strategic areas. So the strat plan would cover the period 2015 to 2020, as I indicated earlier on, and is informed by the vision espoused in the NDP, which is the National Development Plan. 2014 to 2019 medium-term strategic framework and imperatives of the white paper as well. So our vision basically is to lead post-school education and training for growth and with a compatible mission which is to provide a national strategic leadership in support of an integrated post-school education and training system towards improved quality of life of South African citizens. There are 5 strategic goals in slide 5 that are listed, which is to provide sound post-school education and training legislative framework, to provide post-school education and training services, to provide post-school education and training capacity. 4th goal, to facilitate a strong stakeholder network. 5, to ensure continuous business excellence in the Department of Higher Education and Training. Now, in line with the strategic goals identified, we will develop and review legislative frameworks aimed at steering the post-school education and training system in line with the imperatives of the white paper, as indicated earlier on, and will also strive to expand and improve the quality of post-school education and training by introducing appropriate teaching and learning support interventions to universities, TVET colleges, as well as artisan development, and including to community education and training colleges, as the Minister has indicated. We'll also establish, develop, and expand a new institutional type, which is community colleges.
primarily to promote education and training opportunities for those young people and others who cannot access the universities or TVET colleges or who never went to school at all. So we'll improve the capacity of the system through infrastructure development for technical and vocational education and training as well. We'll maintain good stakeholder relations in support of an effective PSET system and ensure good corporate governance, including efficient resource management within the department and its entities. Our focus areas in the next 5 years would be to substantially expand access to education and training for youth and adults, regardless of whether or not they have completed schooling, to improve the alignment between universities, TVET, colleges, teachers, as well as SAQA and quality counseling in an effort to improve student and learner mobility across institutions and qualifications, to expand the availability of opportunities for workplace training for students in colleges and universities, and to expand other forms of workplace training, such as learnerships and apprenticeships. We'll ensure that our PSET system prioritizes funding of the marginalized, enabling them to access post-school institutions and fulfill dreams of careers thought to be unrealizable, and to further develop post-school graduate studies to ensure expansion of the academic profession and development of high-level knowledge and skills in the entire system, to diversify provision based on open learning principles to improve learning opportunities across the post-school education and training sector by expanding and strengthening the post-school education learning. We'll also seek to integrate disability into the broader policy arena by introducing a national policy to guide education and training institutions in the post-school domain, to integrate recognition of prior learning into the post-school education and training system as a whole. I'll ask the CFO to take us quickly through financial information in respect of the strat plan and APD as indicated.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll touch just very briefly on some of the slides, and just to explain the department structure, budget and expenditure trends, giving you a summary of the allocations per program and also per economic classification, and just to highlight some key budget pressures that we are experiencing. The department has 5 programs. I'm not going to go into detail. That's on slides 12 and 13. Basically, administration, our HRD and training. Then we have university education, the VFED branch dealing with TVET colleges and adult education and training, and skills development, the main branch where the CDAs are dealt with. In terms of the budget, just note that the budget includes direct charges, and the direct charges are those that are specifically allocated through legislative requirements, and it's not defined as voted funds. And those direct charges are the SARS levies collected for CDAs and the NSF, the National Skills Fund. If you look at our own budget, for the 2015 NDEF, that's over the financial years, starting now 15-16 until 2017-18, the average annual increase is about 5.9%. But last year we had around 39 billion, it's going up until 2017-18 to 46.3 billion. And for the current financial year, the amount is 41.8 billion, which is a 2.9 billion increase. Now that excludes the direct charges that we have. The direct charges will increase from 13.2 billion last year to 17.4 billion in 2017-18. The university branch, when we look at the actual numbers, you'll see that the university branch program 3 actually dominates the budget. It's about 78.5% of the total budget. And this is mainly because of transfer payments to our universities as well as the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and that is nominated in the item transfer payments. You'll see that on slide 21. In terms of normal departmental services, if we exclude our university transfers, our other public entities, our tertiary college, our adult education and training centers, which will be now the community colleges, other organizations and other earmarked funds, those all include 18.6% of the budget. Our compensation of employees now stands at 7.3 billion, which is as a result of the TVET colleges and adult education and training functions that were moved to the department as from 1 April. Remaining funds for normal operations are just about 505 million rand, which represents 1.2% of the budget. That gives you an indication how effective we need to function. If you take into account that normal project management cost is around 5 to 7% at least when one do any work, and therefore we have to deal with 1.2%, and we try to be as effective as possible. The additional allocations received by the department over the MTF is in total 15.9 billion, which sums a lot, but that's actually only the function shift money from provinces to national for TVET and adult education and training. If you look at the funding of TVET and IET, I think it's important to note that in total for this year we have almost 8.4 billion rand. And if we look at how it's distributed, you can see that 6.8 billion of that is only for compensation of employees. The other money is mainly for goods and services, some machinery and equipment expenditure, and the subsidies totaling 1.2 billion rand. On slide 21, there's a distribution of the budget in terms of the various programs of the department, with various branches, and as indicated earlier, university branch, you can see, dominates the budget, followed by the vocational and continuing education and training branch, where we have the TVET colleges and the adult education and training centers. The direct charges at the bottom, those are the amounts for the CFS as well as the NSF. In terms of the information for economic classification, there you can see the 7.3 billion that I spoke about for compensation of employees for 2015-16. You will note, Chair, and I think it's important to note that should there be any confusion, that the numbers for 2014-15 has been adjusted so that we can see what the actual increases are. So where our actual compensation of employees for 2014-15 excluded TVET and AET, these numbers reflect them as well, so that one can see that there's only about a 300 million increase between the 2 years, taking into account all the functions that the department are responsible for now. Goods and services, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, you can see there the actual funding in terms of the subsidy paid by the department. The CETAS transfers, which I just want to explain, this is not the subsidies to CETAS, but this is the amount that we contribute in terms of the law for the CETAS function from our side, and that is from this year around 13.9 million rand. If we go to the pressures that we have, we limited it just to a few critical bullets. There are a lot of budget pressures on our side, and we acknowledge that we have fiscal constraints in government and in the country as a whole, with numerous challenges, but also a serious impact on the services that we as a department have to deliver. There are a huge pressure in terms of growth requirements in the sector. We cannot meet those in terms of enrollment, in terms of infrastructure development, increased operations, student support services, and many others that needs to be performed. There are also limitations on our operations, as I explained, and as part of the cost containment measures by government, there's also a cap on compensation of employees, which makes it extremely difficult to fill additional posts. Institutional monitoring and evaluation is limited, and this is a very important area. We have, as the Minister also indicated yesterday, we have the most of the highest number of institutions of any government department at the moment. And we have to ensure that in terms of Treasury Regulation 8, we perform proper monitoring and evaluation of those institutions and the funds that we transfer to them. And that is only performed at a limited manner at this point in time. Regardless of that, the IG indicated that they are impressed with the manner in which we are doing those. We have to rely a lot on NSF products to support the department, for example, the National Audit and Moderation Body. And one of the immediate priorities would be the management of the DVID and AED function shift. This is a huge pressure on the department. There are cost implications that could not have been foreseen and that we cannot fully accommodate within our existing funds. For example, examination services, but also the issue of trying to split the TVET and AED functions in order to create a separate AED branch to ensure that that function is managed properly. And we are currently negotiating also with the PSA and National Treasury in that respect. So I'm going to post there. The information on slide 25 is self-explanatory, and then I can hand over to Ms. Mbobo to deal with Program 1 administration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister Nditi. I will be representing the three strategic objectives for Program 1 for the 5-year strategic plan. The purpose of Program 1 is to provide strategic leadership, management and support services to the department. The first strategic objective is to ensure effective human resource management within the department by filling 90% of vacant funded positions and the implementation of an effective performance management system. In this strategic objective, Chairperson, we have three performance indicators. The first one is attaining 90% of the funded positions in the department, meaning that it's a vacancy rate of only 10%. That is our performance indicator for 2015-16. The next one is attaining 100% in the resolution of disciplinary cases. Within 90 days, we are aiming at 100% for that. The third one is the average lead time from recruitment, requisition received until approval of the appointment by the appointing authority. That is within 180 days, which is 6 months. Let me say that, Chairperson, these three performance indicators are as per outcome 12 of the program of action of government. The next strategic objective is to ensure effective financial management through the application of good financial management systems, including management accounting, financial accounting, and supply chain management in line with the requirements of the PRNA. And the two performance indicators for this objective, one is to ensure that we attain 100% of responding to audit issues raised by the Auditor General. So we respond to those issues on time, 100%. The next one, again, this is also as per outcome 12 of the program of action of government, is critical payment age. We are aiming to do that within 30 days, meaning that it's a period of invoices within 30 days from the date of receipt to the department. The next one, which is the last one, is to improve efficiency through the development of an approved annual ICT procurement plan for the implementation of the necessary ICT infrastructure and systems. We are aiming to have this approved ICT procurement plan submitted to Treasury on time, which is the period of April 2015. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, DG, and colleagues. I'm speaking to Program 2 on slides 28, that is Human Resource Development, Planning and Monitoring Coordination. Basically, the purpose of this particular branch is to provide a strategic direction in the development, implementation and monitoring of departmental policies and HRD strategy. A lot of the work that we do as a department depends on ensuring that we set up those policies and legislation that drives the system. Our five-year strategic objectives, we have four of them. The first one is to develop policies and legislation, one piece of legislation, 8 policies over this five-year period and one new piece of legislation, which would include the revision of the National Qualifications Framework Act as well as the General and Further Education and Training Act in order to ensure a sound post-school education and training system by 31st March. Now, 8 policies and 1 legislation over 5 years, but for 2015-16, the annual performance plan, we will be dealing with 4 of these policy instruments. So it's policy and guidelines on the recognition of prior learning would have been developed and gazetted. Policy frameworks on disability would have been developed. Policy framework on social inclusion would be published as final. Policy guidelines and articulation would have been developed and gazetted. On the 5-year strategic objective to develop monitoring and evaluation framework to ensure effective implementation of oversight. So there would be the first report would be produced by March 2010. There's no APP for this because the work would not have begun yet because deliverable is by March 2020. The next 5-year strategic objective is to develop and implement 3 teaching learning support programs. I think that improving access to quality teaching and learning in the PISA system by March 31st, 2020. So for this year, the performance indicator is support plans for teaching and learning. So the target would be a flexible model of learning delivery. So we're talking of ICT, e-education, e-learning. So the strategy has to be developed. How do we work with our institutions? How do we deal with curriculum content? How do we deal with assessment and qualification? So we are testing, going to be testing this year, a prototype of the learning management system. A learning management system means from the time a student registers and also managing the students as they go through the different modules of e-learning, providing them feedback, and then finally assessments. For the 5-year strategic objective, to develop management information systems for colleges and centers and private school institutions. You'll notice university is missing because we have the university email system up and running and quite matured by now. So for this particular year, in regards to the performance indicator, information management systems developed and approved, the minister did indicate yesterday that by October this year, the registration for work integrated learning web-based system will be up and running so that where are learners seeking work experience, work exposure, work integrated learning, they will be able to register themselves there. Businesses will also be able to access the system and access learners. And the second one, performance indicators, statistical reports. These are very, very important tools for planning. The annual report on skill supply and demand will be a brand new report. The minister just last week released a framework for public comment in terms of what it is that the public would like to see contained in that particular report. And then the annual post-school statistical report, which has been published since 2010. Thank you very much,
Chair. Good morning, Chair, honorable members, Minister, Didi, and colleagues. Talking on program B, university education, and that program, the purpose of it is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory frameworks for an effective and efficient university education system. The branch also provides financial support to universities, NSFAS, and the National Institutes for Higher Education. Now, for this program, we've got 7 strategic objectives. And the first one is to develop a new and review six policies or regulations or pieces of legislation to ensure sound provision of university education by March 2020. And for this year, 2015-2016 financial year, the target is to, on new higher education steering mechanisms developed and approved, want to have one policy on the provision of student housing at South African public universities and the minimum norms and standards published in the Government Gazette by the end of September 2015. And also the next one, also targeting to complete it by September, and that is revised regulations for regulation target higher education institutions, which should be approved and gazetted by September 2015. And also the big one is the one we're working on, that is to revise the Higher Education Act, and we're targeting that to be promulgated by March next year. And then the second strategic objective is to develop two integrated plans that will enable collaboration between university education and other PSET sectors by March 2020. And the next strategic objective, to monitor the system, as was presented by the CFO, that the university sector takes a big chunk of the budget, so they have to be monitoring that we carry out. And we're going to be doing that on the 13 annual oversight reports, and those are elaborated there. I won't go to each one of them. And then on the next slide, the strategic objective number four, to develop and implement a teaching and learning development capacity improvement program covering five plans to improve the capacity of universities in terms of teaching and research by March 2020. And Minister has spoken on that one, and those are the five areas where we're developing teaching. And again, I won't go through each one of them because they've already been spoken to by the Minister. And then the strategic objective number five is to improve support to current and prospective students in higher education institutions by March 2020 through the development and implementation of a concise capacity development strategy and program, as well as the central applications system. And for this year, for this financial year, we intend to do student leadership capacity development strategy and program developed and implemented by October 2015, and also to do an enterprise architecture for the central application systems, and which we would like to have approved by March 2016, and both of those are on course. And then strategic objective number five is to produce and publish an annual first-time entering undergraduate cohort analysis report annually. And this is how we are able to determine how much are we having a dropout rate, how much do we retain the students from first year until they graduate, first degree, postgraduate, and so on. And for this financial year, we're looking at 2005 to 2008 first-time entering undergraduate cohort analysis report, which is to be published on the DHET website by March next year. And the last strategic objective, to facilitate stakeholder networks through the establishment of a BRICS think tank and participative academic forum and report progress on partnerships annually. And that we are targeting for the financial year report for the 2015 BRICS Academic Forum and think tank partnerships, which we would want to be approved by the Minister by March of next year. And then the next slide basically is on the statistics in the system. And I won't go in detail on all of them, but the first one, for instance, students enrolled in the public higher education studies at universities, the baseline data is for the 2012 academic year, and that's 950,000 students at our universities. And as we speak, although this will be confirmed by audited reports from the institutions, we think that we are having that million students, a million and 100,000 students in the system. But that steps will come in the next half of this year. The success rates at the universities, we are looking at improving on those, at least at a minimum, to remain at where they are at 76%. The graduates and engineering, increasing on them. Teacher education, we have spoken on that already, but increasing on the numbers of those that enroll. Proportion of university meeting standards of good governance, 100% on those. As indicated, you know, I won't be going to all of them individually on that statistics, but those are the targets in terms of the numbers that we would like to be meeting in this financial year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Chairperson, honourable members, honourable Minister DG, and colleagues. I'm talking to Program 4, which is Vocational and Continuing Education and Training. The program purpose of which is to plan, develop, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy, programs, assessment practices, and systems for vocational and continuing education and training, including TVET colleges and post-literacy adult education, which we will be honestly changing to community education and training, probably in our next presentation. This program has a five-year strategic objective. The first one of which is to develop six and revise five legislative and guiding frameworks aimed at steering the vocational and continuing education and training by 31 March 2020. It may just also explain that the disparate legal mechanisms and policies which we have taken over from the different provincial administration do require to be consolidated, revised, so that they respond to the demands of the post-school education and training system, and also get standardized across the system, so that in order to project and issue that this is now a homogeneous national function instead of different provincial spheres of government. One of the indicators in this first strategic objective is to develop steering mechanisms for the new system, and the six that we have identified is governance policies for both TVET colleges and community colleges. We have to develop staffing norms for the new community college education and training system, the qualification policies for national adult senior certificate, and the guidelines for standardized implementation of occupational programs. Then the policy and directives for TVET College Information Technology System. And again, and this area is at the moment one of the weaknesses in this system, because Mr. Rose indicated, our weakness at the moment is the accuracy of data, particularly coming from the adult education and TVET education space. The next performance indicator is a development of steering, revision of steering mechanism. In this case, we are to revise the TVET College monitoring and evaluation and support model in order to fit the new macro governance model. The second strategic care objective is to standardize the level of governance across the village system and monitor and take appropriate actions where deficiencies are detected. And this year we are targeting to provide two monitoring reports, and which will be up the basis for our intervention. Strategic objective three is to develop and implement six teaching and learning support plans for the research system. And in this area, part of the plan space is going to be an organized and focused attempt to link the work that is happening in TVET colleges and the work that is happening in the workplace, so that we create a pipeline in terms of both the students and the lecturers to get exposed to the industry for some specific period during the course of their studies and during the course of their teaching. And therefore, we are going to develop a protocol on the secondment of sector specialists to work in TVET colleges and lecturers to get exposed to workplaces. And then also, as part of that, we develop teaching and then annual support plans for the research system. strategic four, the focus is on improving the success rate in research institutions by developing and implementing appropriate student support services plans by 31 March 2020. And the indicator for this year is an annual student support plan for vocational education and training system developed and approved, and only one of those, and we're hoping also to develop it and implement during the course of this financial year. Now, with regard to increasing access, our strategic objective part is to ensure geographic spread of research institutions through the establishment of a 21 additional sites of delivery for research institutions, 12 of which are TVET college campuses and 9 are community colleges. And for this year, the target first is to develop a macro infrastructure and maintenance plan for community colleges, which will be one target. And is to continue with the establishment of the infrastructure, 6 TVET college campuses, 1 in Mpumalanga, 2 in the Eastern Cape, and 3 in KwaZulu-Natal. Strategic objective number 6 is to establish coordination structure for support and research in the sector. This strategy and partnership will be our performance indicator, and it's only one of the strategies that we are going to develop. Now, the following slides, just to explain, and it is always important to match the input, into the system and the effectiveness of those input. And therefore, the system indicators are basically a reflection of whether or not our inputs are having any impact. And one such is at least indicates the certification rate. As you can see, the baseline are not anywhere near satisfactory, but we are targeting 59, 53, and 53 on the NCV. With regard to access, we are targeting 725,000 in the TVET college system for the year 2015-16. And the other issue which we are working on, and which we have targeted at least by 2020, to at least take 3 months, but we are starting at 9 months this year, is to ensure that at least the candidate who set for exams get their certificate pretty closer than immediately after the release of the result. We have this year set a target of 9 months. The target of institutions which are conducting examination regimes within the policy, our baseline is 70, we are targeting 100% this year. This is a new indicator which can easily be matched with the indicator 3 on the following slide. Simply put, we have to use as our baseline the cohort of 2012, 2013 and 2014, and determine how many of those who started in 2012 and were able to be certified by the end of 2013. And if we are able to establish this, we are able then to determine the extent to which the system is efficient in terms of value for money and the effects of the impact and impact of our intervention. And other indicators, check they are as indicated in the slides. I'm not going to go into them. On slide 49 and 50, those are indications of what the state is providing, both in terms of subsidies and transfers per province. And the second slide indicates what the state is providing in terms of supporting individual students. The allocations are per college, but then aggregated per province. And that's what those two slides indicate. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, DG. Chairperson, Minister, Honourable Members, colleagues, a very good morning. My alpha slide will be slide number 51, and my omega slide will be slide number 55. I'll be presenting 4 5-year strategic objectives for skills development branch. The program purpose is to promote and monitor the National Skills Development Strategy develop a skills development policy and regulatory framework for an effective skills development system. The first five-year strategic objective, to steer and support skills development institutions to implement the National Skills Development Strategy through the development of 4 new and 6 revised policies, including legislation, regulations, and guidelines by 31st March 2020. The first indicator is new skills development setting mechanisms developed and approved. Targets, there are 4 targets there. Workplace-based learning policy developed and approved by the Director General by December 2015. Governance charter for speakers developed and approved by March 2016. Occupational team policy recommendation tabled by December 2015. Speakers governance standards developed and approved by the Director General. So we move to slide number 4. Performance indicators, skills development scaling mechanisms are revised. There will be 2 there. Speaker landscape reviewed and approved by the Minister by March 2016. A reviewed national skills development strategy approved by the Minister by March 2016. Then we'll move to another strategic objective. To standardize the level of governance across sector education and training authorities by 31st March 2020, monitor and compile annual quarterly reports and take appropriate actions where deficiencies are detected. And you'll see that our target is that we'll be having 4 quarterly reports per annum. Next slide. On this one, the strategic objective is to effectively manage citizen development assessment services inclusive of recognition of prior learning in order to produce 24 qualified artisans per annum by 31st March 2020. An average lead time from trade test application received until trade test conducted in terms of the day, 100 days. New artisan learners registered nationally per annum, 29,750, that is our target. New artisans qualified per annum, our target is 20,110. National artisan learners pass trade test rate, including in terms of percentage, then that will be 50%. Five-year strategic objective number 4, to enhance the national information system in order to improve collection of artisan information and skills development level information for monitoring and evaluation as well as reporting by 31st March 2018. Indicator there is information management systems developed. The target is still National Artisan Development Information Management System designed and approved. This one is basically dealing with the expected outcomes to be monitored and reported by the program. Thanks very much, Sir Gerson.
So thank you very much, DG. And we have also come to the end of our presentation.
Come to the end, sir. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. You have really tried to summarize. I know that time permitting, you have been able to give us much more detail, but what you've given us, I think it's going to assist us to be able to engage the department. Let me hand over to the honorable members then to ask questions. And because of time constraints, members, I'm going to limit you to 4 questions only. Decide which are the most important questions that you want to ask. Thank you very much. Honorable Kunewald, Honorable Paula, Honorable Sto, Honorable Mamuru, in that sequence. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I don't know which question is important, which not, but I've got a lot of questions. In the first place, I thank you very much for the presentation, and we are very glad to see our minister here today. Welcome to you as well, and thanks also for your input. I'm very happy to hear that there will be an investigation into NASTAS. I think it is highly time, and I want to congratulate you about that as well, and I really hope there will be an outcome at the end of the day after the investigation so that we exactly know what is going on there. Thank you for that. I want to know with the training and the training centers. You mentioned how many public universities are there and all the technicals and things, and that is also a very good sign.
But what about our rural areas? I want to know exactly in our rural areas, what are you investing in our rural areas to see that our students in that area, because all of the students are coming to the urban areas where the universities and things are at the, we have a problem there with accommodation and housing and all that thing. And while if we can fit these type of institutions in our rural areas, I think it will be very helpful to keep our students and our people also in our rural areas and they can invest at the end of the day also in that areas. I also want to know the switch between basic education and higher education. I know there were bridging years for our students. Are they still there? And what is the success rate we have with this bridging years in the institutions? One of the main things what we must also remember is job creation. And what I want to hear there, how are higher education compare with the national development plan, how we are incorporated into the national development plan. I want to know how many students are there at this stage in higher education and how many students with a financial support and how many financial needy students can be assisted at this stage. If you can just give us a percentage regarding that. In slide 25, the underspending, you mentioned specific goods. What is that? What is this specific goods you are talking about? If you can just give us an indication. And I also want to congratulate you on the unqualified audit report. I think that is also something positive.
I'm actually meet you to those questions.
All right, my last question. Our relationship with the big countries. What is the relationship between higher education and the bigger countries? Thank you.
Honourable Howell.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks Honourable Minister and the Department for the presentation. I'm also going to be brief. The first one is in relation to the function shift. Is that found complete? And also, there is this issue of the vacancy rate that the department spoke about. I don't know if this includes the vacancies in the TVET colleges. If it doesn't, I would like to know what the vacancy rate there is like. I'm saying 10% because when we went to KFD for our site last year, there were issues in respect of the vacancy rate. Coupled with that is the issue of the alignment of the conditions of service in respect of your staff in the TVET colleges. There are also issues around that, Chairperson, that the staff brought to us. Can I also then be opportunistic and say when we were there, we also showed Honourable Minister a big, two huge buildings that are unused, which were meant for accommodation. And there were complaints that they were deserted, incomplete, just nearing completion by your department some years ago. And those buildings are still standing there, and most students need accommodation, but those two buildings have not been completed properly. The college wanted to make use of them, but your department has not finished them. Can you say something along that? And then, Chairperson, the issue of, on your slide 30, the department is talking a lot of the plans to 2020, March 2020. No, I'd like to know if there is a roadmap that we can use for our oversight so that we don't just come to you in 2020 and say, what have you done? Along the way, what can we be monitoring in respect of the things you say you are going to be finishing in 2020? The example is that one on slide 8. And maybe getting to the last question, person, I would also like to know if the department does have a research fund that is given to universities. This is quite an issue with universities. I would like to know if there is a dedicated fund for research for universities. In general, I know there is quite a lot of research that is taking place, especially on the issue of HIV/AIDS in the University of KwaZulu-Natal. But I don't know if that one is funded by government or it's private sector, but I just want to know from the side of the department, is there a dedicated fund from where institutions can tap, which is dedicated for research or if you give them individually or the central fund or something like that. I'm trying to understand if there is a fund dedicated for research which can be used by universities. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity to thank the department for a comprehensive presentation. Honorable Chairperson, sometime last year when we met with the department, also when we were presenting their annual performance plans to us, in their presentation they indicated that is, they were in the process of tabling the higher education bill. So I would like to know how far are they in terms of tabling that particular bill and what is the progress in regard to that. My second question is that I also noted that the two DDGs who are currently acting just from when I started here as a member of parliament. I don't want to commit myself about other as an honorable minister. So the two DDGs, what is the progress in terms of appointing them either permanent or filling those particular positions? And my last question, the honorable chair, is that during the last financial year, not all colleges were audited by the auditor general. And the financial discipline was not well. So I would like to know what is the progress on conducting the assessment of audit to ensure readiness of the colleges who remain autonomous in terms of the government standards. And then the last issue, I would also like to congratulate the department for finally delivering. And I can also note a huge progress in regard to that. The most apartheid colleges, which is the democratic college, I mean universities, the one which is in our province, the Northern Cape, I can see there's a lot of excitement. The people are very excited, and the people of that province, including myself, are also very excited. And students, I would also like to congratulate the department for that. And I can see also there's also bitterness and also energy and courage from the department, because I think about 2 weeks ago, there was a team from the department that was in the province, also checking in terms of progress. And the premier was also part of that delegation. I also had the opportunity to accompany a delegation to us. There's a serious progress that has already been made in terms of that regard. I would also like to say thank you for that. Those are my contributions, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and my apologies for arriving a little bit later because of transport. Let me first start by applauding the minister. I heard him on TV this morning saying that in Tabazimbi, there's a routine to be handed over. Is it a Tibet college? I appreciate you for that, Minister. Thank you very much. More so because in Limpopo, we are more rural. We've got many houses that, to me, they're not assisting at the communities. So I want to share based on that, Minister. What is that we're supposed to do as communities? Because these mining houses, according to me, they have to deliver on that social labor plan. What contribution are they giving to the societies in order to see that we have a developed society? I want to appreciate also slide 49 and slide 50, because since we represent provinces here, I'm happy because here we could be able for us to see what allocation is given to each provinces in order for us to make a better follow-up on the issue of NFRs that been covered, because when you go to these colleges, there is a lot of corruption. I am Tidi Mampur, a member of parliament. You find that my child is being given sponsors by NSFAS. If you can subtract on that, maybe will be a better society. Thank you very much.
Honorable, I say, is your hand up or are you not sure? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I do apologize for being late. I was stuck in traffic. I get most of the issues have been covered, and I also missed the opportunity of hearing the entire presentation. I've had a quick look through. How far are we with name changes for our universities? Is that on the agenda? We have University of the Fastest Range, University of Cape Town. I think we can have name changes that will reflect our country and the development and the transition that we've gone through. That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just add a few questions into the basket. The first question is with regard to
the migration process from provinces to DH. I just want clarity in terms of whether in the migration process the qualifications or the post levels, let me put it, were changed, or people migrated with their own post levels as they were prior to migration, if there were any adjustments in that regard. My other question is with respect to the establishment of regional offices, whether the infrastructure, the budget for the infrastructure in that regard is actually included in the budget that we are being presented with. The other question relates to TVET College lecturer education. Which universities are offering this, if any, or is it, does it not get offered? When is it going to be offered? And also progress with regard to the construction of the VSET campus. With regard to the remarks by the Minister, Minister, I want to congratulate you for the steps you are taking to address the issue of corruption with regard to UNESCO. It has been an issue that people have been raising over a long period of time. And your action really is going to create that glimmer of hope that something is being done by the Department of Education. And we are looking forward to those people that are actually culprits being dealt with decisively by the department. The issue also of training of practitioners for ECD. We welcome that because, in our own opinion, the best practitioners should be at the foundation stages. Then we set a good foundation for performance in later stages in the education system. So we do welcome that initiative by the department. We are a bit worried with regard to transformation issues at the level of universities. I don't know the extent to which the universities are willing to transform. And those that are not willing to transform, I don't know what the department is doing to ensure that there is transformation. Those are the few remarks and questions that one had. Let me hand over to the department to answer the question.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll take some of the questions and my colleagues will come in and fill the gaps. In relation to what we are doing in respect to rural areas in terms of investment in the city, what we did as a department right at the beginning was to do mapping of the existence of post-school education and training facilities for the entire country. And out of that study, we established that in the main, the facilities for post-school education and training are more concentrated in urban centers. And as you move away from the urban centers, you get nothing. And in respect to the facilities that somehow located in far distant rural areas, we started to calculate the distance that a community would travel before one comes across a facility of one kind or sort of post-school education and training. And the response for the establishment of 12 new TVET college campuses was actually informed by that. Hence, all of these campuses are located in urban areas. Secondly, the 12 in rural. Oh gosh, thanks. Yeah. I suppose Parliament is in an urban area, you know. So they are in rural areas. And secondly, the program that we're having in collaboration or in partnership with sexual education and training authorities in establishing
skill centers that are also linked and affiliated with CZ quality will prioritize rural areas. Our policy on transport and accommodation is also biased towards rural areas, because we're saying in the policy, insofar as providing accommodation in our TVET colleges, we have to consider students who would be residing outside the radius of at least 40 kilometers. So the further you move away, then the arrangement of accommodation is provided. And within the radius of, outside the radius of 10 kilometers to 40 kilometers, we consider providing transport resources allowing, but that we are covering fully. It bursaries for tuition and other related costs in a college. So all our programs basically are geared towards expansion of the facilities in rural areas, including the establishment of a new university in the Northern Cape and Mpumalanga. Now, with respect to IDP and incorporation of the plans of the department, I think the minister spoke in respect to this question yesterday as well. All our plans, be it infrastructure rollout, actually taking into consideration the enrollment expansion towards achieving NDP targets. So everything that we are doing, whether it's on undergraduate programs, masters, PhDs, expansion of the infrastructure capacity of the system, and also diversifying provision in respect to skills needs, is informed by the NDP. And moreover, we are developing a 15-year implementation plan of the white paper in relation also to the NDP at the present moment. So all that has been applied in the strategic plan of government is actually incorporated in our annual performance plan as well as strat plans as we have presented here today. In terms of research, all our institutions do get research development grant, so it's standard, but others would also complement with their resources and also be approached by the private sector and other entities to undertake a research in a particular field that private sector company is having an interest of, but the standard allocation from government in respect to that question. The audits in respect to TVET colleges, we've engaged with the AD with a view of them beginning to undertake the thorough auditing of the TVET colleges in particular. And they've started in the financial year 2014-15, they are adopting a phased-in approach. They started with 15 colleges. Next year, they would be including another college. It would be 16. The following year, they will go up to 20. Then, in the final outer year, they will be doing all 50 colleges, because they are saying at the moment they don't have enough capacity to cover all of them. They would rather introduce a phased-in approach. So my colleagues will pick up on other questions.
No, thank you, Chairperson. On the 1st of April 2015, so a historic day, where the Minister welcomed 38,000 employees into the Department of Higher Education and Training, increasing our employment complement to 40,000 from around 2000. Now, is the function shift complete? Chairperson, this was a long and arduous process that started in 2010. But I'm glad to say that we are 100% complete. But there's two things that we're dealing with. We have to, in terms of the Labor Relations Act and the legislation, we brought the systems over as is. That's a great concern. So, in regards to your question about post levels, if there is inequality between provinces, etc., they will remain there for this year. We have 12 months in which to look at harmonization of policies. Now, particularly in adult education and training, you know, some personnel were temporary, others were being paid by hourly, others were being paid stipends, etc. Now, we know, we anticipate that there's going to be an urge for harmonization and equalization. But it is part of the legislative framework that we have to have time and resources in order to be able to ensure that we reach that harmonization level. In terms of the outstanding matters around the function of those, the other question, firstly, our nomenclature from now on, chairperson, is civil colleges and community education and training colleges. Full stop. We do not have private TVET and private community education training colleges. They're just private colleges. Only on the public side we have that. We also do not and will not be having provincial offices, but regional offices of the Department of Higher Education and Training. And in that regard, my colleague, Diliji Mbobo, will tell you about the procurement process. But the minister has been able to receive some accommodation by MECs in terms of them accommodating these units. And all provinces are cooperating in that regard, which is quite surprising, because prior to April we did not. Look, things would have been much better, Chairperson, if we had had proper information, but we have to act on the information that we have. Now, things come out of the woodwork, and as they come out, we have to manage them. So, for example, in some provinces has had omitted to give us particular information that we could manage or control. But when that information becomes available, we have a rapid response task team that the DG has established. So I must say that one of the most complicated issues was to ensure 38,000 people get paid in the month of April. That was our biggest fear and biggest risk of what can go wrong, especially since all of them were not state employees coming from the personnel system, only some of them coming from college payrolls. But I must say, touch wood, that we've had very, very, very little issues. And when there were issues, we acted very quickly with the delegation by the DG that we were able to convince colleges and inform them, can you please pay the personnel and we will reimburse you. So we had that mechanism in place. We had three payroll runs in April, and as I indicated, we had very few glitches. And when there were glitches, there were administrative issues that the provinces or the colleges did not comply. In regards to vacancies, alignment and conditions of service, I have covered that. Vacancies in TVET colleges, Mr. Bobo Corporate Services will probably cover that. We'd like to know where those incomplete residences are and the province. I must just indicate that the minister has only taken over responsibility for the 1st of April this year. So if they were incomplete previously, we'll have to find who that particular authority was, unless, of course, it is university residences. On slide 20, the roadmap, we're presenting the annual performance plan for 2015-16, honorable member. But however, we could outline the 5 years issues of what's going to be delivered each year so that it can assist you in your oversight particular planning. We can come. The higher education bill is expected to be tabled in Parliament this year. Chairperson, I covered the post levels, and as I was indicating, we will have regional offices of the DHET, and I think I've covered it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair. I just would like to respond to at least three questions. One is the number of students, particularly in TVET colleges, who are likely to be covered via the NSFAS funding. The MTS has been crafted in such a way that by 2020, we should at least have been able to cover 1 million students. And therefore, this year, our projection is that we will be able to at least cover 200,000 students in the TVET system. And that is what I said in our plan. At the moment, we do not have the actual data for 2015, neither do we have the audited data for 2014-15, and that will come with annual reports. The next question has got to do with the deserted and uncompleted buildings. Those deserted buildings, particularly...
Sorry, before you continue, maybe just to clarify, those buildings are in the Eden Cave,
yeah.
In Umchad,
yep.
King Gadijebo.
KSB, yes. Yep. We are aware of them. Those buildings were initiated with the college by the Eastern Cape Department of Education and their public works. And because of the complications which arose between the Department of Public Works and the Eastern Cape and the service provider, as well as the Department of Education and the department, the buildings were not completed. However, when we got in to intervene and we set aside a particular allocation for the college to complete that infrastructure in order to assist students. And I think about a month ago, I was talking to the principal and we sent one of the department's officials who is responsible for infrastructure in order to assist the college towards completing that building so that the infrastructure could be used for purposes for which it was initially established. The other issue has got to do with the...
Because it sounds like members are not exactly sure. Have we given them money?
Yes.
Is construction going to start? I could see Honorable Kaula wasn't quite...
We made an allocation for KSD, the college, to enable them to complete that infrastructure. And in addition, we provided KSD and the management with technical support. We sent one of our officials to draw up the plans as to how the building could be completed. The funding is available. All that has got to happen is that the college must sort out the plans and the procurement of the new service provider in order to complete the infrastructure already available. That has been settled.
Natural fact is 46 million. And at the time it was supposed to have been finished, it was costing around 10 million. But when we discovered the problem, it was costing us quite a fortune. And the other college, which is was also affected by the similar situation as Loveday, TVET College. But it has been attended to as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's just the final report has got to do with the progress on the construction of the TVET campuses. For certain, the work is already happening at Tabazimbi, Baranani and the Inkana sites of delivery campuses. And the next campuses that the department is going to take on are the campuses I've just indicated, one in Balfour, the refurbishment of the other two in KZ and in Gwanongoma, at Akwakrizaz and the old Gwanongoma Technical College. And also, we are looking at doing work around the Ngungushe and Oster Spring. And however, the latter sets of building of campuses, also the speed thereof depends on the complications which arise during the procurement process and the procurement of specialists to go and do the work. But this is the target that the department has set itself for the 2015-16
financially. Just also to respond to the question of monitoring. Please, the target set here with the presentation of both the threat plan, but those targets that you see under the column target is what the members can monitor because it is for 2015-16 financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chief. Just quickly to add facts and figures on some of the responses that have already been provided by the DG. On the question of rural areas, the infrastructure grants that the department gives to the universities favor institutions that are rural-based, so that they can improve and build and, on their infrastructure, as well as most of the HDIs, in fact, all the HDIs, the surrounding institutions, are rural-based. And they've gotten allocation for the next 5 financial years that is for specifically for the development of the HDIs. So those are some of the interventions that the department is making in terms of improving access to the institutions that are rural-based. And then on the bridging between basic education and universities, again, the department allocates foundation grants. The institutions apply for that foundation grant, so it's accessible for all the institutions. So they apply for a set amount by the institutions, and then the department allocates foundation grant. The purpose of that grant is for institutions to assist the students who are to adjust academically from basic education to university education. The success rate of that intervention, now that will be institution based because each institution has got its own program, its own number of students, and also it depends on the uptake by the students. In certain institutions, the uptake is very low because the program tends to be stigmatized by the students. If you are going to the foundation grant, you know, you're looked upon as if you are a troubling student, you know, that kind of attitude. Now, on the just numbers now, on how many students on the financial support for the universities for this financial year, although the numbers will still be coming and audited, but the target was for 205,000 students to be supported on NSFAS, and that is just universities and not the TVET colleges. Now, that constitutes 21% of the students in the system. As to how many students qualify but cannot be covered, now that's going to be difficult to determine because we're covering those. This is the number that we have of those that are covered. But an estimate can be made, and an estimate could be that we've got about roughly about 50%, let's say in the 50s percent, of the students that are needy are in the university education system. So if we are covering 21%, so there's still students that are struggling, we cannot be covered by government, and that is through NSFAS. Research fund, 2.7 billion rand goes for research, dedicated for research for all the universities. Now, then there is, what he said, the research development grant that the institutions, all of them, access. We allocate about 200 million rand for that. And again, it favors the institutions that struggle on research as much as it is available for all institutions, but the larger portion of the 200 million rand would be available for the institutions that struggle on research. Name changes. In terms of the Act, Clause 65, you know, the Council of the Universities decide on the changes of the institutions, and then they submit that to the Minister for further consultation and also endorsement. Transformation at universities, that's the last one. The department is establishing a sub-unit currently to monitor and support the transformation oversight committee that is in place.
so that we can then escalate transformation of the system. Thanks.
Thank you very much. 1 minute.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I will respond to the vacancies, whether the 10% includes the colleges. Let me start by saying that it would now be colleges and the community colleges. It does not include them at this stage. But I do want to say, Chairperson, in terms of the posts that have been transferred to the department, 38,397, we have identified that there are 3,405 posts that are regarded to be vacant. But let me say that this may not be funded vacancies, because a vacancy is a vacancy unless it is funded. And in view of the fact that there has been no proper post-provisioning norms or staffing norms for colleges would simply create posts even where posts are not needed or they are not funded. This year, the department will then be working on the post-provisioning norms with a view to then providing guidelines on staffing TVA colleges as well as ISA or community colleges rather. In regards to the two DDG posts, let me say this, that we currently, the minister has actually appointed one DDG recently for the university education branch. Dr. Diane Parker was approved by cabinet and appointed by the minister as the DDG. We have the two, but I must say that the VISTA branch has recently, the post has recently been vacated, and the minister has committed to filling that post there sooner, as well as the skills one. In regard to the regional offices budget, whether it is the office accommodation is included, yes, we did get a transfer in the sum of the 12 million for offices, for regional offices. But currently, as has been explained, our officials are in the provincial departments of education offices. Yeah, I needed to just clarify those two questions.
Thank you. I think we've come to the end of the engagement. We've exhausted the time we had at our disposal. I don't know if the Honourable Minister would like to have concluded remarks.
If I can, Chair, thank you very much. And be very brief. We have completed an investigation into the establishment of a Maths and Science Foundation program. I'll just add one more thing on the foundation programs. Specifically targeted if you matric students who have gotten between 40% and 49%. Because we believe amongst those there are many who have gotten 40 or 49%, not because they do not have the capability. Either some of them did not have teachers or something else might have happened. So that we are able to uplift them to be able to access higher education through a one-year foundation program. We want to start implementing that on a pilot basis through TVET colleges, not necessarily through university colleges. The relations are really at ministerial level. For instance, we have got a big ministers of education forum where we meet and we identify issues to work on. For instance, one of the areas we've identified must we work on immediately is mutual recognition of qualifications, so as to facilitate student and academic mobility amongst BRIC countries, and so that we've got comparable qualifications. We know if you come from Russia with such a qualifications, it means you are equivalent to this in Brazil or South Africa and so on. We hold this annually. And in addition, as it was said here, we've got an academic forum and a BRICS think tank through which we are able. The other area of cooperation that we've agreed on is sharing experiences on TVET. We were quite instrumental in South Africa in putting that item on the agenda of BRICS. Because of time, I won't go beyond the person. I think on the post, Diligent Bobo has covered this. I intend filling these other outstanding posts as soon as possible. In fact, I'm supposed to have done it now. But sometimes the requirements require to do that. For instance, you need a minister and two deputy ministers to do interviews. Sometimes that becomes a bit of a mission. But it's not an excuse. It's something that I'm very much committed to doing very quickly. I do agree with honorable members. Some of these posts have been there for a very long time. I'm excited about, I hope the media is not here. Is the media here? If they are not here, I can say this. Salt Lake University is my favorite university of this new university. Your typical city university. There's an urban boy I really loved. You know, I'm very pleased that members at least are. That's the last two things very quickly, Jefferson. The honorable member of the EFF, we have no plans in the department to change any name of any university. We will be guided by stakeholders whether there is a need to change the name of any university. I know you may be tempted then to go and take this up as a campaign. I don't mind. In the light of what I'm saying. You know, well, there may be questions. Why do you have certain names like the University of Zululand, for instance? I've got my own personal discomfort a bit about the colonial character of that name, Zululand. You know, but anyway, we have no such plans, PG, as far as I know. We will be guided by stakeholders of a particular institution if they want. We're also convening the University Summit during the second half of this year, which I'm sure, Chair, we will also be able to invite you. But what I would like to urge the select committee to do, partly in response to your own question, I'm rounding off now, Chair, is that we really would like to focus on university transformation this financial year in a big way. And part of that, I would really request that the select committee becomes even more active, including summoning some of the investors to come and explain themselves to the select committee, as to why certain things are happening or why certain things are not happening, because we are not going to do this on our own as the executive, you know. Parliament also has got a very, very important oversight role. You can sometimes even expose things that we have been unable to pick up in some other instances. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Let me take this opportunity to thank the Honourable Minister for the input that he made as the Select Committee on Education and Recreation. You've taken note of the issues that you've raised and where you are calling upon us to take action. We definitely are committed to take action, because we'll be acting in the best interest of the nation. We've come to the end of time allocated. We're all rushing to our own different caucuses. I am not going to delay the process further. We've got different avenues through which you can post the questions to the department. I want to thank you, DG. I know that our select committee for this particular department sits on a Wednesday, usually, and we can hardly get the minister. This is why we are very excited today that at least we were able to have him in our midst, because it coincides with Cabinet Day. But the Deputy Minister is always driven to be present during our session. Thank you very much for the presentation and the clarity that you've given with regards to questions that were posed. We are going to use the avenue of questions to the minister, to the NOP, on issues that you did not have time to raise with the department. We look forward to meeting you once again during the financial year. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.
Representa lá.